Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. All right, for a minute there, I thought there were going to be some issues with the music starting off the new year, but luckily we avoided that. Anyways, this is the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and back with me is Dan the Man. Hey, all right. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, even through the holidays, the blog still went up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so I hope you kept up with it. So make sure you're hanging out there and seeing what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like it while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Of course, Dan and I are out there on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan, the man with three
E's. All right. Well, Dan, I don't know if I would say I'm a believer, but, like, I get a kick out of all the ghost stuff and the Bigfoot stuff and any kind of that kind of goofy thing. And I think I finally realized that Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, had to be a sheep herder in his first life, and he's been able to carry that over into this life, because I am going to give this guy all the credit in the world. He knows how to herd the media like nobody else in sports does. We had four really good, really competitive playoff games over the weekend. But yet every story I heard to start a sports show, and literally almost every story I heard on the NFL Network, which I can listen to on my Alexa that you bought me because I no longer have the channel. Thank you, Uverse. Leads with the Dallas Cowboys. And Dan, I'm mystified by this guy's power. I mean, he's a warlock or something. I don't know what the hell he's got going on, but he is rolling, and the media just they flock to him like sheep. I don't get it.
It's because he owns the Cowboys.
Is that all it is? It's because it's the Dallas Cowboys that, even though the team has accomplished nothing in years, there's still name value there?
I guess so. I mean, I don't get it, but, you would think there'd be more to do about the Patriots losing and Tom Brady being a free agent.
Yeah. That is pretty much the second story you get. First off, everything is cowboy oriented, and that's the A block of every show today. And I'm assuming it's going to end now that they've actually hired a coach. I mean, if you haven't heard by now, they hired former Green Bay Packer coach Mike McCarthy. So that's all said and done. He only interviewed two guys. It only took 2 days to hire a coach or whatever. So they're all set and done. I'm under the impression maybe we'll leave this alone now and they'll focus on actual football, but I don't know. Do you see that happening?
No, because they've got till Friday to kind of throw all that stuff out there, and then and then on Friday they could do all the pregame stuff.
But, yeah, I was just kind of like, it's to the point now where when I see something and they start with that, I just turn it off because I just can't deal with it anymore. It's kind of like, no, please, let's, can we talk about something relevant, like that, kind of actually happened? No.
Why would you do that?
But, yeah. Yeah, you know, God, you know, God forbid we have to talk about something that went on the field. And now, you know, the on-field stuff that needs to be cleared up here as we move through the games, especially from yesterday. First off, yes, it was pass interference on Kyle Rudolph. No, they shouldn't have called it because it happens on every single play. You know, there was hand fighting between the two defenders. The Saint guy lost. Rudolph caught the ball. Sorry, New Orleans, that's just kind of how it goes. You know, maybe you shouldn't have had a 6-foot guy out there guarding a guy who was 7 inches taller than him. And you might have had a better shot at it, or possibly stop them from driving down the field. I mean, you had double coverage on Adam Thielen, and he still caught the football. Maybe you could have stopped that play, and it wouldn't happen. Last year they had a beat, Dan. I was all in. You know, that was complete pass interference on the Rams player. That was a complete blow job, well, screwed up call by the referee there. I got to be careful there. But this year, yeah, there was no reason for them to go pass interference. You know, it just kind of seems that the Saints are going to be the fans that cry about everything. And this is just their excuse to cry this year. And it's not a good one.
Well, and that's kind of what I was going to say is, do you think that last year's crap kind of just carrying over? So every time something goes wrong, they're just going to cry foul play?
Yeah, you know, I'm wondering if they think they're entitled because they had the bad call last year and that, you know, the flag should have been thrown. But, you know, if you would have thrown a flag on that play, and this is what is really starting to drive me nuts about NFL fans, if you're going to throw a flag on that play, you literally have to throw a flag on every single pass in a game. Because that kind of stuff happens on every play. You know, there's always hand fighting between the two guys. And, you know, it's just, Dan, do you want to watch a football game where there's a flag on every pass thrown? Because I don't.
No.
So, I don't get it. And then, you know, moving on to the other game, the Eagles fans who are going to cry. And I actually should be crying here, too, because I had Carson Wentz in my playoff pool. You know, what people seem to forget is the game, football moves at a very fast pace when the play is actually going. So you can't be surprised when the refs miss a call here or there. I understand why they didn't throw the flag on Jadeveon Clowney, because Carson Wentz was technically what they say a runner at that time. He was no longer a quarterback, and he wasn't giving himself up. He was trying to gain yardage. Yes, it sucks that he got hurt, especially for me, because, like I said, I had him in the fantasy pool. I got a quarterback who went 1-for-4 for 8 yards, so I'm already out after wild card weekend. You know, but again, you can't throw these flags every freaking play. You know, and I mean, you know, the only reason I realized Clowney went helmet to helmet with them is because they had a super slow motion replay. At full speed, I didn't notice it. So, again, I mean, we can't review every play. You can't throw a flag on every play. You know, yeah, I'm sorry Carson Wentz got hurt, but I don't think it had much of an outcome on the game because, let's face it, your offense sucked. So, I get it, it's Philadelphia, and this is how it goes. And, you know, I think I heard Jadeveon Clowney say he's getting death threats now. So that's a classy move on their part. But, you know, that's what we expect out of Philadelphia fans. So, yeah, I don't get it when it, you know, it comes to this stuff. Yeah, it sucks your team lost. No, nobody's out to get you. It wasn't done intentionally. You know, score more than 9 points if you want to win a game. You got 3 field goals. Try punching something in the end zone if you want to win. You know, I don't know what to tell you. So, you know, and I mean, you know, like going back to the Saints game, you have one of the best offenses in the league. Maybe people should be talking more about the great defense the Vikings played, limiting you to 20 points instead of crying about the last game play of the game. You know, I don't, you know, like I heard all the betting people and stuff because I've been picking up a lot of those shows lately because I think I need to become a professional gambler, even though I would probably suck at it. And, you know, I heard them, oh, you know, play the over. You got to take the over. With that Saints offense, you know, they're going to go way over. Yeah, I think it was 48, and I don't think you made it because you ended up at 46. And I know everybody expected the Saints to score the majority of those points. So it just didn't work out. You know, I mean, again, these things happen, and, you know, there you go. You know, I thought the Vikings played better than any other team this weekend, and I won't be surprised if they go into San Francisco and get another win. So, I don't know. What did you think?
I only really watched the Vikings.
Yeah, I did find myself having a much more difficult time. Like, I watched all of the first two games, but, you know, by the time you get to that second game and you're 6 hours in or whatever to these things, man, I really struggled to get through the second games. And, you know, the worst part was the one second game was the Seahawks, who, of course, I wanted to watch. So, you know, I kind of forced myself to really try to stay focused. But, yeah, I mean, but, yeah, it's just like by the time these things play out, I'm starting to lack interest. And, again, these were really good games. I mean, they were all decided. What I think the biggest winning margin was Seattle winning by 8. So they were all one-score games. So, you know, I mean, that's fantastic, especially for the first round. You know, normally we end up getting one blowout down the road, and we didn't have it this time. But, yeah, I really wore down, you know, maybe that was it. I really just kind of wore down by the – you know, by the middle of those second games and stuff, I was like, oh, God, what's going on here? So, you know, and then locally, I don't know if you saw this one. You see that Kyle Long announced his retirement today. Have you been listening? I haven't listened to any local radio. Are they talking about it at all?
I didn't listen to the sports radio, but I did hear that this morning. I was kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, he's only 31. So he's still, you know, really young. You know, he has had a lot, and I mean a lot of injuries throughout his career. I mean, he's just coming off another season where he only played limited games. But, yeah, it has to be, you know, a bit of a surprise. He only had a 7-year career, and, you know, offensive linemen, I mean, especially a quality offensive lineman, can play a long time in the league. So, you kind of wonder – you know, if there's some other underlying issues, or, you know, what was going on, you know, so I don't know. But yeah, I thought that was quite a shock there.
He wants to be able to play with his kids and be active in the boardroom.
That's a basketball thing. So, you know. You know, because by now he'll be, you know, with all the surgeries and stuff he had, I don't know what he's going to end up being able to do. So.
Yeah, I mean, Sadly, I'm not surprised by that one. When I heard it this morning, I was like, oh, he's pretty much been hurt since he started with them.
The next stop to be Oak Forest.
Yeah, it just, you know, yeah, I was a little surprised because I think, you know, God, I think it was just a few days ago he mentioned how he wanted to finish his career with the Bears, so I guess technically he did. You know, if you want to, you know, if you want to look at it that way, I don't know. I'm trying to find the terms of his contract here, but yeah, you look at it. I mean, he hasn't played a full season since 2015. You know, he only played in 4 games last year. So, you know, you just wonder if, you know, the injuries have caught up to him and maybe he's just kind of tired and ready to move on.
I mean, that's probably the biggest part of it.
So, but yeah, I thought that was a bit of a surprise, and it'll be interesting to see how, you know, how the Bears kind of managed to move on, or you know what they what they do anything. I mean, it just kind of adds up to one more problem for a team that's got a whole bunch of problems.
Yeah, well, and I was going to say, does it even make a difference? I mean, they can't figure out what to do on the offense to begin with.
So, yeah, and it does look like, you know, I am wondering if maybe there could be some gamesmanship here. Although he does have a contract for next year. I thought his contract was up. But he does have one more year on his deal. You do kind of wonder, maybe he's looking for more money. You know, it looks like he's due, what is that, 6, 7.5, 8, 9. It looks like he's due about $9.6 million. So that's a pretty good chunk. I don't know if, you know, he would be looking for something else or.
I mean, but how can you ask for something else when you haven't really done anything?
Yeah, but you know how it is. That doesn't seem to matter anymore. I mean, how many guys do we see, you know, come out or come back and, oh, yeah, I want this. Well, what have you done? You know, you haven't done anything, but yet you want this money.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just, it's that new, I guess, entitled era of sports where you think you deserve it even though you haven't earned it. So. But yeah, we'll see. I guess they'll be, well, they don't have a first round pick, so they won't be drafting one in the first round, but I guess the Bears will be looking for some linemen in the draft. But, all right, well, interestingly here, Dan, you know, now you and I, you know, we play the daily fantasy sports. You know, like I play, when they're free. I know you like the free ones. You know, I'll spend some money on baseball and, you know, football and stuff. But I came across this story, and I found it pretty interesting. Now, we play on FanDuel. This was a DraftKings deal here. They had a wild card weekend contest, you know, picking your lineup from all 4 games, and they called it the Millionaire Maker, where the big winner would win $1 million. Well, oddly enough, the contest was won by a Jade Roper Colbert. Now, this will mean nothing to me, Dan, but it might be you. Apparently, she was a past contestant on The Bachelor. I know the season premieres tonight. Watching the new season?
I've never even seen it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it, apparently she was on what was called Bachelor in Paradise. And she's married now to a Tanner Tolbert. They got married in 2016. And he is what's described as a high-volume daily fantasy player, which means, obviously, he's one of those guys. You know, I mean, you've seen the contest where you can enter multiple lineups. He's one of these guys who goes through and enters the multiple lineups, the maximum type of lineups. Well, what's interesting here, apparently, is in this league, you had a maximum, let's see, yeah, it was $25 per entry, and I'm guessing you had a maximum of 150 lineups because they combined to enter 300 lineups. Now, I guess the complaint here is out of the 300 lineups, 298 of them were unique. Now, what most volume fantasy players do is they get a lineup they like, and they enter it over and over and over. Rarely do you see multiple lineups from these kind of players that are different. So this is what kind of flagged it immediately. They're kind of under the impression that they use two people to circumvent the maximum entries allowed. I guess my question here to you, Dan, is, you know, you're more the legal guy than I am. Does DraftKings have a case, or do these owe these people $1 million?
No, they owe it. I mean,
the next stop will be Finley Park.
Only when I can do that, what are they going to do about it if we have two separate accounts?
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's, you know, that's obviously the thing. You know, and I mean, I'm sure, you know, like they deny doing any wrongdoing, which is, of course, what they're supposed to do. You know, they had obviously conversations about what they were doing. Not, you know, I'm not going to buy into that. But I got to be honest with you, Dan. I think it's a pretty smart strategy they used. You know, and it's funny because I think it was the husband who brought this point up, maybe the wife. But the quote here from them, Dan, is I get a kick out of this one because this just kind of amplifies how my fantasy season goes. They said, no one ever said a peep when we lost for 14 straight weeks.
Of course not, because then it was okay because FanDuel or DraftKings didn't have to pay them.
Right. So... but yeah, so it's, you know, it's interesting. I mean, like, I know, you know, there were people out there who did eight lineups with each quarterback. You do a lineup for each quarterback, hoping you hit on the quarterback who's going to have the big day. So, you know, I know people who did that. You know, like I myself only did one. You know, I played in a contest just like this, and I stunk. I didn't win any money. So Saturday, I did win money on Saturday I won money. My Saturday and Sunday lineups didn't win any money, and my Sunday lineups didn't win any money. So that's how my weekend went. I didn't come anywhere close to winning $1 million. But, yeah, I thought this was just kind of interesting. And I just can't, you know, while it's maybe not in the spirit of the game, I don't see anything they did wrong here, do you?
No, so how many, two people entered two different lineups?
What they did is they entered a total of 300 lineups. But 298 of them were different. And that's what kind of red flagged it. Because like I said, normally in those situations, the people enter the same lineup over and over and over again. Because, you know, if you think you have a winner, you just want to continually cash.
So
that was my drawback because I never
that. So what you're saying is, in some of those that you had invited me to, in the, you know, previously through FanDuel, that gave you up to, you know, let's just say 5 or 10 entries. You know me. I did 5 or 10 different entries.
Yeah.
So if I would have won with one of them, they would have called me a cheater.
I guess so. I mean, what I also find interesting is the fact that these people spent $7,500 on lineups. Because they entered 300 lineups at $25 a piece. You know, and I mean, here I am. I'm frightened to play for more than a buck or two. I couldn't see spending $7,500 on fantasy sports lineups because, you know, how do you write that off if you lose?
Well, it's technically gambling, so it still counts. But you just, you know, it's funny, though, because they're only allowed to write off a certain amount per year, you know, to negate the winning. But, you know, your winning earnings never stop getting taxed. So, but, I mean, did they go in with 298 different accounts or?
No, they each had an account. He entered 150 on his account and she entered 150 on her account.
And then there was no limit to how many.
150 was the limit. Yeah. You could put in. You could put a maximum of 150 lineups in. So.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what they did wrong.
I also want to give them credit. I get that, you know, since it was a husband and wife team, you question this, but I want to give them credit for sitting there and entering 298 different lineups. Because I just get frustrated entering more than a couple.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you took the time to do 298 different lineups, you're the king as far as I'm concerned. So.
Yeah, well, and there's no rule that says one user per household.
Right. You know, and like I'm looking at the one, you know, just on FanDuel here, there's a 5 cent one in the NBA tonight. You can play for 5 cents a lineup. It's a multiple entry lineup. You can enter 150 lineups if you choose to. You know, so that means you and I could get together. I could put in 150 lineups. You could put in 150 lineups. And, you know, if we won, we could put the profit. But I could enter, Dan, I can enter 150 lineups and still lose. Okay, just plain and simple. So, you know, which is why I only play the free basketball. So, I'm kind of like you. I don't think I understand what they did wrong.
Because, I mean, there should be a disclaimer. Only one user per household can enter a contest.
Yeah.
But then again, you've heard about the married but separate people, right?
Right.
You know, they're married, but they live in different houses.
So, yeah, I just, you know, and I mean, I guess you get it. You know, nobody wants to give away $1 million. As a daily fantasy player, I don't see what these guys did wrong. You know, I think it was pretty smart of them. You know, I'm disappointed now that I'm not married and I don't have somebody to team up with.
Well, I mean, being able to find that other half that would sit there and do that with you. And you can't tell me that you know, he or she came up with 298 different lineups.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's clear they obviously had a plan. You know, I mean, that they knew what they were doing. I get it, but again, what's the difference there between them and the guy we talked about many years ago who built an algorithm to win?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's like steroids.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand I don't understand the difference there. I mean, it's still, you know, you're getting help. I mean, and this guy's getting help from a computer, you know what I mean? And he was winning, you know, six figures a year with help of the computer at the time. You know, we saw the story on him. So, you know, what's the difference between him and these guys kind of teaming up to, you know, to win? But yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting story because it's something that people are both going to play. Yeah.
Well, and what game was this for? Was this for the playoffs this weekend or the NBA or?
Yeah, it was for this weekend. It was for Wild Card Weekend.
And is it something that DraftKings does every year?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, DraftKings do. They all do things for the playoffs, you know, just to draw up whatever, you know, enthusiasm for them. And, this is their, this is their last real big chance to hit a score because basketball and hockey don't do as well. So you got to wait till baseball season.
I mean, but literally these people had from Christmas Day until this past weekend to come up with all those lineups.
Yes.
Or not? No, I'm sorry. Because the season ended on New Year's Day. I mean, I know you don't know all the possibilities, but there was still some outcomes. You didn't know who was going to be in there.
Yeah, they had a week to, barring injuries, they had a week to put their lineups together. So.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I, like I said, I'm kind of in the camp with you. I don't think I see the wrongdoing here. So.
Nope. And DraftKings is going to have to adjust all their rules and regulations.
Yeah.
So that doesn't happen again.
I mean,
that's one of those situations where they're, you know, you put it out there. You didn't put a cap or a limit and all that good stuff. So it's your fault. Time to pay up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the issue was there. So, you know, we'll have to see. So, and I know, I'm surprised Dan didn't bring it up right away, but we did play each other in fantasy hockey last week. He got the win. He beat me 10-8, but sadly, even with his win, we both still suck. I am actually in 17th place out of 20, and he is in 16th place out of 20 teams. So, yeah, we are, for whatever reason, incredibly bad this year, and I don't know why or how I think so bad, but I think so. And I just to solve it, no matter what I try or what I do or however I work it out, I can't get anything done.
I'm tired.
I'm away.
What?
And, you know, hopefully the second half will go better. I think to the point where I'm wondering if I might be to the point where I'm too far out of the playoffs. But, yeah, he did get the big win. It didn't really help the standings because they beat me by two games. But he did get the win.
I went up to 16.
Yeah, you went with me.
Yeah. So, but, you know, we could both just use the problem that we've been in the hospital and we've been very sick, like one of your buddies did. I won't name his name, but... Oh, yeah. But he was kind of called out for giving up. And then, you know, he put the excuse, oh, fantasy is not life. And my wife's been in and out of the hospital for 4 years or whatever he said. And I didn't respond, but I really wanted to say, so what happened last year when you drafted and then didn't change your lineup the entire season? But,
yeah,
you know,
the weird thing is I actually took him out of the league, but he joined.
Well, I think what might have happened there, though, is, you know, because we post on Facebook and Twitter, I think that's it. You know, one of these days we'll get into Instagram. I'll talk to you about that one day. But, you know, I think that might be it, too. And then, you know, for you – being the, what do you call it again, commissioner, you know, he signed up with a different name, different team name than last year.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, you and I are pretty much anyone, since it's a free league, it's not like we're super, you know, into like, what's the word I'm looking for, I guess, vetting the new players. But you see a new team name, and then you see the first name because that's all we see, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. We're back up to 20 teams. Because I did. I took a look at his history, and I was like, oh, he's got a different team name for last year. I thought we cut him out. But, you know, what kind of jumped on it was there was a conversation that was started, and, you know, the guys weren't complaining, but they were actually enjoying the fact that this is – you know, and these are NFL or NHL guys that joined our league that we don't know, and they're like super into the fact that this league is competitive. I mean, you and I are at the bottom of the league. We're 16 and 17. You know, your buddy's probably at 18, 19, or 20. We both know how that, you know. But you go down to 17th team, and every one of us and above is daily actively changing lineups, looking for new players. And I mean, you know, I got my first win of the week and I'm just getting my ass kicked now, except for this week. But, you know, I think that's one of the cool things that we've got about this hockey league going is that if the season were to end today, I know you're not kicking yourself out. You're not kicking me out. So, you know, we may not have to really readjust this league. And I mean, it's going to be one of the most competitive fantasy hockey leagues in Yahoo, I think. And,
well,
you know, the
I don't
best part is
kicking myself out.
You're just going to be the commish.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and then the other side of it is it's competitive. And the guy who brought up the fact that he enjoyed was that it's competitive is the same guy who offered me a trade when the, you know, after the draft to help me get a better goalie. And I think he's in like first place or something. So he's up there. So, you know, that's one of the things I think I like about this crew or this group of guys we've got going on in this league is that, you know, everyone's really into it and they're not, you know, they want to keep it competitive. And, you know, this is probably the only league that we've been in where BS trades haven't been thrown around. You know,
yeah.
I haven't seen a, here, I'll give you my three bench guys who, you know, moonlight in the AHL and have played seven times for Alex Ovechkin, you know.
I would,
go figure, the year I don't. Yeah. But, you know, go figure, the year I don't pick up Steven Stamkos and I'm playing like crap.
He stays healthy and plays well, so.
Yeah, exactly. You know, about two or three seasons in a row.
I keep looking, and, you know, I'm on the waiver wire, and I'm hunting guys down and, you know, trying to stay with it. I just had another guy go on IR, so I had to deal with that today. But, yeah, I don't know what it is. I can't seem to get it going. You know, I was looking at the league stats to see where I'm kind of – the team stats to see where I'm kind of trailing, and I'm like, you know, offensively I'm losing, obviously, the categories because my team is bad. But I'm not losing them by that much to where it's just kind of like I got to make wholesale changes. So it's difficult to kind of, you know, make that decision on like, okay, well, what can I do? You know, I mean, the only category for some reason I normally really stink in is hits, which is a category I used to be really good at, but just not this year.
Yeah. I don't know if that's being kind of slowly, I don't want to say disregarded, but not as important as it used to be. Do you know what I mean? Like, with the league. I know. What makes hockey badass. But, you know, for me, I stopped looking at that one because, like you said, when it comes to the team stats, I'm like, well, you know, what are you losing by? By one. A lot of the times I lose my week, it's by literally a point or 2 points. You know, he got 5 goals, I got 3. You know, you said, you know, just like hits. I got 75, he got 78. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So that's kind of been my luck. So what I've been doing, and I don't know if this might help you, is just looking at, like, the past 3 weeks to see where I've lost. And then looking at, you know, who's kind of the weakest guy for over the last 2 or 3 weeks and getting rid of him and pulling somebody in new. Fortunately, I stayed healthy, so that's been a positive. Unlike the NBA, I start getting on a roll. Still in fourth place, but I think I am up to three or four on the IL. And then Russell Westbrook had the big O next to his name, but I'm like, but they're all out because he's not playing. So
he's repped tonight. So load management.
Yeah.
So.
Because it's Monday, he needs the Monday off. I don't know.
Yeah. So.
But you know, since we haven't been here in a couple weeks and. I've got to give you my breakdown of my sports adventures over the last 2 weeks. I went to a Bears game, a Pacers game, and my Blackhawks game got rescheduled. So we didn't get to go to that one, unfortunately. But Big Jack, I'll be flat out honest. I'm super duper 100% glad that I got Bears tickets regular season for free. Yes, you got to know some people. Because preseason, regular season, I do not know what the hell is going on the field. And that's where you laugh. I have no clue. I just knew that there's Mitchell Trubisky and Patrick Mahomes. I was trying to pay attention to watch, but I don't know, maybe because we're so high up, you know, my friend said, let's go lower. So we did go lower towards the end of the game, because the Bears were getting their ass handed to them. So everyone, all the Bears fans were leaving. All the Chiefs fans were, you know, doing the tomahawk chop. So that was pretty interesting. It was, I got to tell you this, though. It was Devin Hester bobblehead night. And my friend that came with me had this grand idea to stand by the entrance, because we were there at 6 o'clock and the game started at 7:30. Stand by the entrance and buy all the Chiefs fans bobbleheads. And then resell them. And I actually thought he was going to take them all home and resell them on eBay. No. He was buying them for about $10 a piece. You know, granted, we each got one. So he had, him and his friend, they had two. So they just kind of combined their money, you know. And he bought at least 10 or 12 more. I did my own thing while they were standing up there. Well, you know, because once, I forget which point, but, you know, at some point the bobbleheads run out. So he had them all stacked up on display next to one of the beer vendors. And I left. You know, I went to go get something to eat, you know, use the washroom, you know, just wander around. I came back 25 minutes later. I was like, here, I got you guys a bag. He's like, oh, dude, we don't need it anymore. I've got just this one left, but I'm going to keep it. You know, plus it was about 10 minutes to you know, kick off and the opening ceremony crap. So he's like, well, let's go to the seats and whatnot. But, yeah, he got the two. I got mine. And then I did kind of get back in line, and I got a second one for my nephew because he's a huge Devin Hester fan. You know, he got to do the football camps with him back when he was in, you know, elementary school and junior high. So I got him one. But yeah, my friend came to the game with about $40, borrowed $40 off me to buy more bobbleheads, paid me back, and basically drank for free. So, you know, if you're that much of a gambler, I suggest doing it. It was pretty awesome. I thought he was going to fall flat on his ass, and we were going to be walking home carrying, you know, between the three of us, what would you say, what, 14, 15 bobbleheads? Oh, and then on the way out, I found one other one, so I threw it to his friend. So he's like, oh, sweet, now I got one to go home with. So that was, and mind you, these things are now going on eBay and Facebook for $40 a pop. I would never pay that, though. I don't know how you feel about that, but the most I would pay for, I don't give a damn who it is, $5. You know, if it was kind of cool, collectible, but.
I only have one bobblehead, and it's Dexter Fowler.
No, you've got two.
Do I have two? What's the other one?
Yeah, that Brewers guy.
Oh, is that Travis Shaw thing a bobblehead? I haven't opened the box yet.
Yeah, it's a bobblehead.
I figure he's better off staying in the box, right? So
yeah. For when he becomes super duper famous. Hey, but you needed that Dexter Fowler. It's the best one.
I do.
So then the Monday night before, so that was Sunday night football. Hey, I got to be part of that whole experience. That was pretty cool. And it wasn't freezing. It was only 37, so it was a lot better than I anticipated. Monday night, I drove down to Indianapolis with my nephew to go see the Pacers take on the champion Raptors. Pacers lineup went on, and I looked at my nephew, and I go, so do you know any of these guys? I never heard of any of them. But there's a new kid on the block named Aaron Holiday. I forgot to look. I don't know if he's related to Justin and Drew Holiday, but he was pretty much kind of the star. And then there's a European player who was Sabonis, I think his name is. He was all over the court. He was fun to watch. I've got to say, though, Indianapolis, they've got some great fans. They've got two sections, which I thought was pretty cool. Where we were sitting right below us was the super fan section where they had all these chants going, and, you know, they dressed up ridiculously with all their, you know, Pacers gear. One guy had a baby Yoda for good luck, so everyone was loving that. You know, and they do all the regular stuff that every other NBA team does, you know, the shirt tosses and no free food, though. But the other section on the other side of the stadium, kind of similar to our section, they have their own drum line, Big Jack. So when you hear the defense, you know, do defense, it's not a DJ, you know, playing a sound bite. It was the actual, like, drum line. So, and they had their own super fan section. So that was pretty cool. I'm like, you know, I kind of wish that the Pacers or teams that do stuff like that would kind of advertise that a little bit more. I know I'm not a Pacers fan per se. I did go with my Pacers hat. But, you know, I think it would be cool to kind of get that experience as a out-of-towner. I'm not going to go in there with, you know, even if we're the Bulls and I was going down there, I'd go in there as a Pacers fan just to kind of absorb that fandom. So that was pretty cool. But I do have to say the highlight of the night, besides the fact that the Pacers won in overtime, they only went into one overtime. And, you know, like we always talk about, you know, just like the regular season really isn't worth watching until the playoffs. The opening was pretty hot and exciting because the Pacers took like a 10-point lead. But then it, you know, it just kind of the regular pace of game goes on. Raptors came back, but it was that last 2 minutes, Big Jack, where the teams tied it up, went into OT, and everyone really got into it. And it was, all in all, it was an exciting game. So that was fun to watch. But like I said, the highlight of the night was some, like, I don't know, 13 to maybe 16-year-old kid. He was really tiny, so that's why it's hard to put a number on his age. He was pulled for the half-court shot. And if you were, you know, scrolling through Twitter the next morning, I think this kid had about, you know, a million likes or views already. He made the halftime shot and won Chick-fil-A for a year.
Cool.
So, I mean, if you would have seen this kid's face, it was awesome. You know, the surprise, the shock, the little hype, you know, that little hype crew that hangs around and gets you all hyped up. They were going nuts.
Yeah.
So, all in all, good night. If you're in Indianapolis, I definitely recommend going to a Pacers game. Stadium's really clean. They've even got their own Steak and Shake inside because I think Steak and Shake's headquartered down there. So if you're in Indy, go to a Pacers game. Enjoy it.
So, and I can tell you that Aaron Holiday is the younger brother of Justin Drew Holiday. So,
no kidding.
Yeah.
And then I think Justin's on that team too, the Pacers.
Is that where he ended up? I know he kind of bounced around, and I know he spent some time with the Bulls, but yeah, it looks like he's a Pacer as well. So,
yeah, all they need is, you know, true.
So yeah, well, you know, reportedly he's on the trading block, so maybe, you know, he's in New Orleans right now, so we'll see.
Yeah, so it was a you know pretty eventful week. Christmas week, so I didn't get any sleep, needless to say.
So, you know, it's Christmas week. Who needs sleep, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's how, just kind of how it goes.
But, and I kind of been out of the loop a little bit, especially this week. Did we get any more MLB signings? I haven't really heard or seen anything.
Just, you know, I would hate to call them minor guys, but, you know, the lower tier free agent, you know, have signed, like the Twins signed Rich Hill and Aaron Bailey. I did see today the Nationals did agree to a deal with Daniel Hudson, so they're bringing him back. It's also reporting that the Nationals are going to sign Eric Thames. So that's kind of interesting. Jose Iglesias is going to the Orioles. I Facebooked you the Starlin Castro thing. He's a National. Will Harris is a National. Jason Castro signed with the Angels. And then Domingo Germán of the Yankees officially was suspended for 81 games. But he's got to sit out like 63 or something because he already sat some out at the end of the year. So, yeah, nothing huge, you know, no Josh Donaldson or guys like that. And I see the report here that the Cubs signed another utility man. They signed that Carlos, I believe it's pronounced Azuga, who I believe was a Padre last year. But, yeah, he's been a Padre for three seasons, just a utility guy. You know, the minor league deal with the invite to spring training, all that fun stuff.
They don't have enough of those guys.
No, you always need those. Yeah, the Reds officially signed that Shogo Akiyama. You know, that deal became official today.
Now, how do you like the Nationals kind of going forward with, like, acquiring Starlin Castro and I mean, they weren't supposed to do what they did last year without Bryce Harper. So, I mean, you know, one of the complaints, and I think we talked about this, was the fact that, you know, even though the Cubs thought they could just kind of bring back the same team to win the World Series, you know, that whole blah, blah, blah. But do you think the Nationals are making the right moves to kind of get them back to that World Series and maybe even be one of the first teams since the Yankees to repeat?
Yeah, you know, they're, you know, whether they do or they don't, you know, it's so difficult to repeat now in baseball.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, they're doing the right thing. You know, it's obviously it's going to be tough to replace Anthony Rendon, but you know they're bringing Asdrubal Cabrera back, and I mean, when you look at Cabrera's numbers, people probably don't realize that combined last year, he drove in, you know, what was it, 91 runs. You know, and I get it, you know, RBIs are the new stat that's kind of crapped on. But, you know, to me, that's a big deal. I mean, he's very, you know, very solid. You know, he's not that guy who's going to be like a standout guy. But, you know, you'll have him and Castro and then Howie Kendrick, who was just fantastic in Washington. You know, you kind of start to add these guys up. You know, Rick Thames is a nice signing in case they, you know, maybe they can't get anything worked out with Ryan Zimmerman, even though it looks like, you know, they probably will. You know, he gives them insurance at first base, and he can play the outfield. So, you know, it looks, you know, like they're doing the right thing. I mean, Will Harris has been a fantastic reliever for the Astros, so I don't know why he wouldn't continue to be good for the Nationals. You know, Daniel Hudson just made his career in the playoffs there for them. So it seems like everything's on the right track. I mean, of course, you know how it goes. Just because, you know, you do well in the offseason doesn't mean it's going to work out for you. But I like what they've done.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're running out of time. I think it's definitely a lot better than it was last year, you know, waiting till, what, February? Oh, everyone's finally signing. So I think that's going to make a huge difference. But in your opinion, you know, let's just be honest. Here in Chicago, everyone's been excited for what the White Sox have been doing. Well, not everybody. Of course, they have those skeptics. You know, I think that Dallas Keuchel wasn't so bad because it's not, you know, 7 years. But, you know, you definitely, as a White Sox fan, you do not want to hear that your team won the offseason, because that blew up in their face last time, as it has for every team that's won the offseason. But who do you think's leaning towards that title?
Oh, boy, you know, it's always tough to say now. You know, the Reds have done a really nice job this off. You know, I mean, with the Yankees just signing Garrett Cole, I mean, that's a big plus. But, sadly, I would probably have to give it to the White Sox. I know they don't want to hear it, but I think right now, they've probably done the best job.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's definitely not the Cubs.
No, I don't think it's
just that Sean.
You know, and that was, yeah. Well, you know, and I've been reading some things, you know, about, you know, Cubs fans wanting to rebuild in like a few years again. I'm like, my God, you guys are idiots. I can't even be with you.
All right. We're going to come back 5:30 tomorrow to do it all again, and I want to tell you all this earlier, but on Thursday we're going to move back to the movie pit, for the fourth movie pit, so we'll have to get going as well. While we're talking about you, don't forget sportsmedia.com, keep up what's going on over there, follow the link up to the Facebook page, and you're not over there, go ahead and give them a bite, but don't forget to tell us you can just ask sportsmedia.com. Look at your game here on Twitter as well if you want to look at that, and hey, remember, the podcast is available to listen to anytime you want. And tune in.